Jim Magus, Chief Operating Officer, and Victor Zazu. He is the Chief Technology Officer of Lepton ID, and they are here in the studio. Hello, guys. How are you?
Hello, John.
Hello, John.
They came into the studio, and I was starting to become suspicious. Maybe it's not the kind of a thing to make a joke about anymore, but remember the little guy that brought in a clock he said he made, which he really didn't make, that looked like a bomb, which he said it wasn't, and he got in all kinds of trouble. Well, in walks Victor Zazu, and he's got a box. And then these guys, and Jim Magus, I know Jim personally, and Jim is never far from wires. So you put the two together, and I was just hoping to get to this point in the show and I would be able to talk with you. And helpfully, they are unarmed and here, happy to talk about counterfeiting. So I'm going to ask you both, what is counterfeiting?
John, I think it's a great Jim? Question.
You want to bring that microphone up a little bit, fella? There you go.
The U.S. government has a long definition of counterfeiting. They even have a law, starting with 18 U.S.C. 2320. However, I like to put it into 10 words.
Good.
And the 10 words are likely to cause confusion, to cause a mistake, or to deceive. That's what counterfeiting is.
Oh, that kind of puts a different spin on it.
And the interesting thing about counterfeiting is, what do you consider it? Very interesting. A copy, most people would consider to be counterfeit. Could be a product overrun at a factory, and they might sell it out the back door.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a counterfeit? It's deceiving the original manufacturer. He's not getting paid for his IP. So that could be considered a deception and also could be considered a counterfeit.
Okay.
You know, you can borrow the brand name. If you could also make a very interesting trademark change, I think, Victor, you talked about one that you just ran across yesterday.
I was looking to buy a Sharpie highlighter, and I ended up with a device that was called Shoopy. It was almost kind of comical.
But just looking at it quickly, I thought it was Sharpie.
It looked exactly the same.
And it was a Shoopy.
It was a Shoopy.
Where was this?
It was in a dollar store.
Just my goodness.
Funny.
Yeah.
Another slightly different one.
Hold on. Would you consider that counterfeiting?
A deception.
It's definitely deceptive.
It's definitely deception, yeah. Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it looks exactly like a Sharpie. So okay. Unless you look closely at it, you can't tell.
All right.
You know, people that buy perfume, sometimes it's diluted. Would you consider that a counterfeit?
Yeah, I would.
Yep. So, you know, if they fill an original bottle with counterfeit perfume, is that whole thing counterfeit?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different things, but it's all protecting the original IP. That's the intellectual property that the manufacturer had in developing the product.
All right. How big a problem is it?
This is something that we've learned recently. The Federal Customs Authority in May of 2015 announced that the worldwide counterfeit revenue has exceeded $1.7
trillion. Trillion.
Trillion.
So what kind of industries? I mean, there are listeners out here that they know that there's counterfeiting going on, and they think of somebody that has a little table in New York on the corner that's selling Yves Saint Laurent bags or something like that. But that's not just what we're talking about here.
No,
Where is counterfeiting going on? Well, where is that trillion?
It's a really very interesting story. If you just look at the top nine, and that was just published in a USA article. The number nine is optical media, which you would expect. You know, copy of somebody's CDs, somebody's software. You would expect that.
That goes on in China a lot,
doesn't
it?
It does. But the interesting thing is 50% of that $1.7 trillion mm-hmm. is sold in the U.S.
Oh, my goodness.
So phenomenal numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The second, or number eight, is labels, tags, and logos. Now, people ship in shirts with no logos on them, or mm-hmm. no labels, and they sew the labels in this country, and they sell it as an original item. So they get it through customs. So there's a lot of counterfeiting going on that way. Computer accessories, you would expect that. Everybody's copying those. Footwear is one of a very large portion, which is part of apparel. That is almost 80% of counterfeit is in the apparel area. The number five, which is kind of scary for everybody, is the pharmaceuticals. Having pharmaceuticals being counterfeit, not knowing what you're getting, not getting the right medication for the person, is critical. And that is something that the government is really has to come down on.
Now, on pharmaceuticals alone, it was brought to my attention anyway, because I've had to deal with drugs a lot, not necessarily personally, but in operations that I managed at one time. They found some drugs like blood pressure medications, and they cut them open. They were gypsum inside.
That's correct.
It's a wallboard.
Yeah. Absolutely
yes.
Correct.
Correct. Or they were using lead paint to color them yellow.
Oh, my goodness.
So the one thing I learned with pharmaceuticals is always check that your next prescription, the pill, is exactly the same as your previous one.
Okay.
And wearing apparel, John, is a very large percentage. The consumer electronics is a large percentage. Mm-hmm. Watches and jewelry are a large percentage. By and large, the largest is handbags and wallets.
So that is really a huge market. Huh?
Absolutely. And you're talking about 81% is just in those pieces of apparel, which are obviously wallets and handbags, anything that people wear, jewelry, any of the footwear, clothing, all of that consumes the largest piece of that $1.7 trillion.
Now, right now, as we speak, on the other side of the world, somebody's pressing CDs, they're making DVDs, they're making pills out of lead paint and wallboard.
Anything they can find.
All kinds of things. And people say, that never come to me. Well, how do people know something's counterfeit? Because I've seen counterfeit items, and they're remarkable insofar as there are certain things that if you really know what you're looking for, you can see in the stitching, you can see in the color, you can see in the texture, those kinds of things. Most people aren't that astute, haven't been trained in that kind of thing. How do you tell, or don't you tell, and are experts around to help find this?
That's a great question, John. We have two demos here. I know it's hard to see these demos, but I'm going to actually ask Victor to describe. The first one is a shirt that he is wearing. And the shirt that he's wearing has a tagant on there, which is a nanoparticle that is a reflectance. And this is something that Victor's going to be able to demo to you.
I'll get close to the mic so you can kind of hear.
Okay.
So what I've done was I placed our detector over threads that have been specifically loaded with the tagant.
Okay, and the tagant is the size of a nanoparticle?
It's in the order of nanometer size, 100 nanometers, 200 nanometers.
Which tells the audience how big that is.
It's like maybe 1,000 times smaller than your hair.
Okay.
Okay. And it gets embedded in the thread of the fibers of the thread,
mm-hmm.
and it really doesn't come out. We've tried washing them out with bleaches and stuff, and it gets stuck in there. So this particular tagant, as we call it, has a specific optical signature that we can detect. So if a particular company wants to put this thread in their product, then they can verify if their product has the tagant, and therefore determine that it's a valid product and not counterfeit.
Right.
And from a user point of view, you can't tell the difference if it's not a different color, it doesn't have any different tensile strength, it's exactly the same as if you were using a regular piece of cotton thread or polyester thread.
So you need this electronic device to make that determination.
Correct.
Yes.
Now, who would use that and where and when?
Well, a lot of times, an apparel company would send an inspector to a store.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just randomly go through and just instantly go off and touch some of the products with the detector and see if how many, what percentage of the products are valid and if they're carrying some counterfeits. Then if they're carrying some counterfeits, they would go back and work with the store to find out where their distribution is coming from and sort of cut down the chain of command for the counterfeit product.
So this is a time saver to law enforcement.
Correct.
And it makes things more efficient on their part. and it certainly is something for retail operations.
And in some cases,
no less customs. Manufacturers.
Also custom, customs, too, as stuff comes customs in the country, they would be able to inspect it.
Wow.
So as the stuff comes in from overseas, they sample with this, and they can check and see if it's counterfeit or if it's a valid product.
So now it bonds with any kind of fabric?
It bonds with cotton. We've tested it with cotton. We've tested it with polyester, but we've had to inject this into the polyester process.
It'll bond with it, but the process is different.
Yeah, because polyester is a smoother fiber, less fragmented. Yeah.
But there's another demo. So you were mentioning about lead and toys.
Mm-hmm.
A very interesting thing is we have a display here of a little toy, plastic toy with paint on it. This particular toy, we have embedded our tagant on it to ensure that you can verify that it's real. And you can do this again in the distribution.
Okay. So what we're afraid of is that the paint is leaded. So little kids will chew on the toy.
Sure.
So if we can put our tagant in the plastic or in the paint, then we can determine if it's a valid toy and hopefully not come from a factory that uses lead.
All right.
So it's actually act as a safety.
So this is an affirmation this toy does not have lead in it.
That's correct.
Or any other carcinogenic, because they don't stop at lead. They put in cadmium and all sorts of really, really bad materials.
Wonderful bunch of folks out there, huh?
Yes.
Good cop, bad cop.
You almost can't believe some of the things they've counterfeit. So.
Let me ask you both, since you brought that up. Why are you interested in this? What gave you this idea? I mean, this is pretty interesting stuff. I'll make the leap that there's patents on this already.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So, did you roll out of bed one morning, or did you have a dream?
Well, actually, John, I can give you a little background.
All right. This is Jim Mego speaking.
In the company I was in before I came to Lepton ID, they had some parts that were counterfeit, and parts were returned to us. That was an electronics company.
Uh-huh.
And when we got the parts back, we said, obviously, these are not our parts. We decided that it made sense to find somebody that was in the business that could help us protect our product. And we came across Victor and his company, and I've actually joined them. Right. So they've got some very, very good technology, and they have some customers that they had developed the product with early on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, we started out being one of the few companies in the world that can actually read certain aspects of holograms, which were used in anti-counterfeit applications.
Fascinating.
And from that point on, we've sort of morphed into different types of anti-counterfeit techniques. Usually a multiplicity of techniques are sort of merged together so that if one is defeated, then the next one isn't, and we correlate them together, so it's almost impossible for somebody to crack our system.
It's pretty remarkable. So in the scheme of things, how attractive is this to companies? What roughly, cost-wise, cost-benefit?
Obviously, this has got to be very cost-effective, otherwise you wouldn't be in the business.
Right.
But it's very important to customers. I'm going to give you an example of something I just read, and it was in the Bloomberg Business Week article, and it was by Bruce Einhorn. And he said 91% of the Chinese consumers today are the top factor in choosing a product is authenticity.
Mm.
91%.
This is in China.
China.
Yeah.
So this is a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. So to give you an example, I also found that North Face, and this is in a research article by the Connell Group in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
what they did is they actually checked the market in China for buying North Face, and they've learned something quite surprising. The customers in China don't want to buy North Face because it's counterfeit so much, and they don't want to be perceived as having a counterfeit item that they're wearing.
Even if they're buying the real
stuff. Even if they're getting the real one. So it's actually had a negative effect on the company. So what
in an enormous market.
In an enormous market. But the other one that was really interesting is an article in Wall Street just recently, and that is by Taylor Swift. And what she did, she did something I think is phenomenal, and I mentioned this to you the other day. She went directly after the counterfeiting companies of distribution, JD.com and Alibaba.com, and she said she will give them a franchise to sell her product, the original, but they have to stop selling the counterfeit. And it's very interesting. So this happened just in September of this year. It'll be quite interesting to see what happens in the next year, if that really plays havoc or not.
She's a gutsy, strategic thinking entertainer. Remarkable. Yeah.
So there's a lot of technology solutions that we offer in anti-counterfeit, in false returns. We haven't talked about false returns.
Go ahead. Now, what do you mean by define false returns?
Well, okay, let's say you go to Macy's and you buy a bottle of face cream or something like that, or hand cream, whatever. So you use it, and you go to the dollar store and you buy a similar bottle, and you return that. And you say that, well, this is what I got from Macy's. Well, it's not really what they bought there, but they have no way of checking to see if it's
really their product
or not. So, you know, we add some special markings to the product, to the package, that will allow them to determine
that it's their product or not,
if it's coming back for real or if it's a fake product coming back.
So this is almost like how they can put $100 bills or $50 bills under a certain light scan, and you know, they say, there's a problem here.
Actually, it's a lot more sophisticated.
Oh, much more sophisticated.
Because most of those are in the ultraviolet, and this is much more sophisticated than that, because you cannot see it with the naked eye. You can't see it with any light source.
Yeah.
So it can only be seen with the...
Yeah, a lot of the older anti-counterfeiting techniques would be like, you know, if you go into a bar and they stamp your hand and they put it under the black light. Well, that's sort of passé, and you can, and we actually do that, but you can actually buy that stuff on eBay and get it tomorrow and be counterfeiting the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working in a different region of the electromagnetic spectra to sort of thwart anybody from just kind of knowing what we're doing. So it makes it extremely difficult. Our goal is to push them to go counterfeit somebody else's product, and then we'll go after them after that.
So what's the reception like?
We just announced the product 3 weeks ago, and we're getting a lot of very interesting hits on the website now, getting
Fantastic.
A lot of activity. We're doing a big announcement, I guess, early next week.
Monday, right?
On this anti-counterfeit thread. So we think that'll be a very exciting new technology.
Your website.
It's leptonid.com.
And that's
leptonid.com.
Okay. And so people can see what's going on here. Yeah. Interesting insights into China. Now, you, Jim Magos, were here, what's it been, 2-3 years?
Yeah.
And we talked a lot about China because at that point you had a lot of dealings in China.
Yes.
You've had a lot of dealings around the world. But it's interesting to hear you speak now about how far the Chinese consumer has been educated.
If you just take a look at the Chinese consumer, the middle class in China today is larger than the entire U.S. population. Staggering numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about almost 400 million people in China are, quote, middle class. And they're getting educated. They want to buy real stuff. They don't want to buy copies.
Very interesting.
Yeah, as their wealth goes up, they don't want the copies. They want real product, and they're starting to push back.
So, and they might even be more aware of what's been going on because a lot of them are closer to where a lot of it's been going on.
Absolutely.
Not saying that it hasn't occurred here and elsewhere in the world.
Right.
So where are you going from here?
Well, we're starting off in a few of the vertical markets. We're working in the document security area, working in the pharmaceutical area and cosmetics initially. And then there's a lot of other markets, obviously the apparel, consumer, identification, healthcare, food, liquor. I mean, you name it, access control, military, homeland security, chemicals, electronics, industrial, automotive. All of these verticals have a problem. Can you imagine buying counterfeit brakes and they fall apart when you hit the brakes?
Actually, that happened to somebody that I know of.
And I think the U.S. consumer is going to be a lot more educated mm-hmm. as we go forward. We saw what Amazon just did with 1,000 of their vendors sending them letters. So there's going to be a lot of change.
Stop there. Amazon sent their vendors letters saying
to ensure that they're not selling counterfeit products.
Okay.
There's definitely concern, and people have found stuff that was counterfeit.
And kind of what's scary is that some of the products are coming in with official UL labels on them, which the UL labels are counterfeit.
And you can buy all you want on Alibaba.
Like 10 cents a label, or 10th of a cent a label.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid and it was high school, and I was working in this store, and next door to the store was a store, clothing shop, that sold to people of means. And true story, went into that store. I was a kid. Back room. I was delivering some food and all. And the person that owned it had what you were talking about, Victor, the labels. Mm. And she was stitching labels in clothes that were not of the quality of Chanel and whatever else that she was selling there. Mm. But people bought it. Yes. They didn't know any difference. It had the label. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, it's a massive problem. It's just the numbers are so staggering, it's hard to imagine.
Well, I wish you very, very well with your product and with your ambitious plans.
We're excited, John. We appreciate your time.
Well, it's always good hearing from you, Jim Magos. And Victor Zazu, is that as proper? Okay.
That's correct.
Now, before we close up, and we're really down to the seconds, matter of fact, we're running a little bit over time right now. Victor, your background?
I'm an electrical engineer.
Okay.
I also worked with Jim at RCA for many, many years.
Okay.
And we started this operation in 94, so we've been doing a lot of custom electronics for the last 20 years or so.
Okay. Did you work at the Sarnoff Center?
For a while I did, yes.
Okay. All right. And Jim?
I worked at RCA, GE, and Harris, and a few other ventures overseas.
Okay. Now, bottom line, let's say that your product's successful. You will reduce not only counterfeits, but what else will you reduce by reducing counterfeits?
You'll be able to get more tax dollars in the state.
Okay. More tax dollars in the state?
Government's got to be happy about that.
How about people's health and those kinds of things?
Health to be able to get more jobs. They're saying 2.5 million jobs are lost because of counterfeit just in the U.S.
Okay.
2.5 million.
So, folks, we're around Christmas time, the holiday time, Hanukkah time. You've heard it. This is an important topic, and we have two experts, and I'm happy that you came here to talk.
John, thank you.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
And they're both Americans, folks. It's an interesting discussion.